And welcome back to Midday. I'm Tom Hall. On Thursdays, we always welcome our intrepid theater critic, Jay Wynn Russick. Hey, Judy, how you doing?
Fine, thank you, Tom.
So today we're going to talk about a new show at the Annapolis Shakespeare Company. It's called Alice and the Book of Wonderland. So obviously there have been any number of versions of Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. So why did Annapolis Shakespeare take this up? And are there things that distinguish this particular version of this very famous story?
Well, the short answer is yes, there are. Before I get into those, I just want to say at the top, this is a truly beautiful production, absolutely beautiful. But it is an all-new, very clever adaptation. It was written by Sally Boyette, who's the artistic director and founder of Annapolis Shakespeare, together with Donald Hicken, of course, the former head of drama at the School for the Arts. And as the title, Alice and the Book of Wonderland, suggests, what's distinctive is that the book itself is so important in this, it could almost be a character. The show starts with Charles Dodgson. Lewis Carroll was his pen name. Lewis Carroll gives the book to Alice, and the book turns out to have magical properties. For example, during the croquet game near the end, the Red Queen hits a losing shot. She flips the pages backwards in the book, and she gets a do-over because everything moves back in time.
That's a book I want.
Whoever has the book at any specific time and how Alice will get it back becomes a major plot thread. The trial at the end partly becomes about determining the book's rightful owner. And the book, being central to the plot, is a way to sort of emphasize the joy of reading and the new worlds that reading can take us to. Sally Boyette and Donald Hicken, the co-authors, also throw in quite a few updated references. Not so many that a child would get confused or wouldn't enjoy the show, but there are references to fake news and alternative facts. Firing a special prosecutor is mentioned. There are a number of references to Russia. I brought an example. After Alice goes down the rabbit hole, she finds herself facing two locked doors portrayed by actors. Here's a bit of their conversation.
You cannot go through.
I can't go through. Why not?
There's a travel ban.
A what?
A travel ban.
But the rabbit went through.
He must have had a green card.
I thought that didn't matter.
That was the old ban. With the new ban, it matters.
What's a green card? Can I get one?
Not anymore.
Why not?
There's a new revised travel ban.
A travel ban?
Your words, not my words.
This is ridiculous.
Ripped from the headlines, that's Johnny Weisgerber, Ian Charles, and Laura Rocklin in Alice and the Book of Wonderland at Annapolis Shakespeare. Lewis Carroll's book, of course, Judy, includes all sorts of magical stuff, right? I mean, Alice changes sizes all the time. There's a cat that comes in and out and disappears and comes back. And the characters range from there's a caterpillar, there's playing cards. I mean, there's all these effects. So how does Annapolis Shakespeare handle all of those?
Well, Tom, we just heard actors playing doors, and there are lots of animals, but nobody wears an animal costume. John Tenniel's illustrations of animals are generally projected on the back wall of the set. Tenniel did the original illustrations and still the best-known illustrations for Alice in Wonderland. The actors playing the animals wear clothing that sort of suggests their characters. For instance, Bill Denison plays the white rabbit, and he wears white tails and a bowler hat and little dark glasses and, of course, a pocket watch. Brian Keith McDonald plays the hookah-smoking caterpillar, and he just sits cross-legged in an armchair smoking an electronic cigarette. There are a few cases where they don't have the illustrations of the animals. I have to admit, initially, I was a little unsure of what those animals were. But these projections, they're designed by Joshua McCarrow, and they do some amazing things. At the very beginning, Alice and her sister are in a boat with Charles Dodgson, Lewis Carroll. They're sitting on a bench and a stool, but flowing water is projected on the floor, and there are moving images on the back wall. It's so convincing, you could get seasick. And when Alice shrinks, there's a Tenniel illustration of Alice shrinking. When she grows and grows, the illustration grows. The Cheshire Cat, you were mentioning, materializes and dematerializes entirely through projections, and Alice interacts with these. The cat is played by Johnny Weisgerber in very extreme makeup. He has two sets of teeth. Little creepy, and he has just the right sort of shifty nature to go with them.
Of course, Alice in Wonderland, Judy, has a bazillion characters. I mean, there's lots and lots of folks in that. I mean, how large is the cast of Annapolis Shakespeare? Is this one of these deals where, you know, one person plays five people?
Pretty much. There are only 7 people in this cast. They play 25 characters. Everybody but Laura Rocklin, who plays Alice. And Laura Rocklin, I have to say, is just charming as Alice. She's curious and inquisitive. She's delighted with just about everything. She's brave when she needs to be. She's smart. But there are a number of really enchanting performances. There also is a lot of shouting and shrieking. Now, I understand that the tyrannical Red Queen may be justified in screaming, but the Mad Hatter, and why is the White Rabbit shrieking so much? I'm not sure. That said, special kudos to Brian Keith McDonald, who plays the most characters, 6, one more than you suggested.
And the winner is.
And he starts out as Charles Dodgson. He also plays the Caterpillar. I brought a sample of him as the melancholy Mock Turtle, who has a predilection for puns.
Once I was a real turtle. When we were little, we went to school in the sea. The master was an old turtle. We used to call him Tortoise.
Why did you call him Tortoise if he wasn't one?
We called him Tortoise because he taught us. Really, you are very dull. We had the best of educations. In fact, we went to school every day.
How many hours a day did you do lessons?
10 hours the first day, 9 the next, and so on.
What a curious plan.
That's the reason they're called lessons, because they lesson from day to day.
They lesson, do they? That's Brian Keith McDonald in Alice in the Book of Wonderland at Annapolis Shakespeare. By the way, Judy, are there other Alice in Wonderland plays coming up this season? I mean, this has long been a favorite of theater types.
That's true, but even more so in this area. There is a profusion of Alices in this area right now. It actually started in June. Fells Point Corner Theater did a revival of a 1970 adaptation by Andre Gregory's Manhattan Project. The Imagination Stage in Bethesda just completed the run of a rock and roll musical rendition. This winter, Baltimore Center Stage is doing Looking Glass Alice, a 2005 adaptation created by Chicago's Looking Glass Theater Company. And in the spring, Chesapeake Shakespeare is doing the most familiar stage version by the actress Eva LaGallien. She wrote that back in 1932. Those are just the ones I know about.
Yeah.
But the big question, obviously, is why now? I asked Sally Boyette this at Annapolis Shakespeare, and she really wasn't sure. I checked for anniversary dates when the book was written, Dodgson's dates, but it really just appears to be coincidental, or just, as Alice would say, very, very curious.
Very curious indeed. A feast of Alices.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this production, I understand, marks a major step for Annapolis Shakespeare Company, a relatively young company. What's going on over there?
Well, this is their first production on the main stage of their brand new permanent home. It has 3 performance spaces. They started performing in the building actually in January in a much smaller black box theater. They did a production of Our Town. But this main stage where Alice is will eventually have 125 seats. There's also a cabaret space. You might even say that this time, when Alice goes down the rabbit hole, she lands in a brand new theater. And what a lovely development that is.
Indeed. Alice and the Book of Wonderland. That's a new adaptation written by Sally Boyette and Donald Hicken, who, of course, was for many years the head of the drama department at the Baltimore School for the Arts. It's at the Annapolis Shakespeare Company. And we've got a link to details about the showtimes and all that stuff at WIPR.org/midday. So we're going to take a couple of weeks without a theater review, Judy. And when you come back after Labor Day, what are we going to talk about then?
We're going to come back talking about the season preview, what's coming up, which is a great way to start September.
Yep, lots of stuff coming up this year. So we will look forward to that. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Enjoy your couple of weeks off.
Thank you, Tom. See you in September.
Lunch for our midday guests on Thursday is provided by Eddie's of Roland Park. Eddie's is a full service market with locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features sandwiches and salads with specials each day. They're all listed on their website, eddiesofrolandpark.com. That'll do it for us today. Tomorrow, it's the Midday News Wrap. Plus, we're going to hear from a few members of Symphony No. 1. That's an orchestra that's playing next week at the Mount Vernon Place Conservancy's Summer in the Square series. And they're going to play a little for us here, right here in Studio A. So I hope you can join us then. I appreciate your listening. Stay tuned for Here and Now. That's on the way right after a break for news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day.